You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
What do you like to do?
Shop.
Shop. Sleep? Sleep. Shop. Work out. What else?
Read.
What?
Read.
Read? Okay. Eat. Got it. Watch musicals. Sports. Does that cover it?
Hunting.
What else?
Hunting.
You know, I'm moving this week, and I'm moving into a place that's fully furnished. So, not necessarily to my taste, but I'm thankful. And on the mantle is this giant deer.
Yeah.
And I asked if he had to stay because they said I could move things around. So, you know, I'm like bagging up stuff that I don't want or need and moving it around, clearing my space out. And there's this deer staring at me. And I was like, I really don't need another roommate. Like, why are you here? And she's like, High Horned Harry has to stay. You need to take care of him. And I'm like, okay. So anyway, I don't know about hunting, but I have a deer in my family room. So it's awesome. What else do you like to do? What? I got read, didn't I? No? It's because the right side wanted to eat. Right. Okay. Really? Who said that? Homework. Okay. I can do that. All right. Let's talk about
homework.
Dislikes.
Homework.
Is homework like a group decision right now? Homework, tests, chores, not sleeping. What else? Exercise. Okay, what else do you not like to do? Shop. So it's like the opposite of the girls' likes. Nap? Math. Yes. So can I just put school? Yes? Okay. Okay, here. We'll do school as a like and as a dislike. How about that? If you like school, raise your hand. If you don't like school, raise your hand. Okay, those of you who like school, raise your hand. Is it the school, like the classes that you like?
No.
Athletics.
Okay, that's different. School, class, homework. Raise your hand if you like that. Much smaller. Okay, just checking. We're good. Any other dislikes? Rejection. I don't like that either. A what? Sin? Yeah, I don't like that either. Anything else? Satan is what? Stupid. Okay. Yeah, I think you should like God, don't you? Okay. Okay, okay, this is where... Priorities is what it says, if you can't see it. So before you yell out all these different priorities, try to just think first, like, don't just throw out random stuff. Like, let's try to go in an order here. Like, what should, no, not what should. What is your number one priority? Not should. God? Is that, you don't, it doesn't have to be God. I'm just asking. Okay. Okay, what's after God? Okay, hold on. I'm hearing school. No? What else? Music? So my priorities go God, music. That's... Okay. I feel like I'm on Family Feud right now. Okay. Okay, family?
Yeah.
Friends?
No.
School?
No.
Family?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, after family, what is our priority? I completely agree. No, I'm kidding. I don't even know what you said. Okay, raise your hand. Well, if you want to say something, raise your hand. Ryan, sleep is your next, so God, family, sleep. Does everybody in here agree with that? Raise your hand if you agree with that. Okay, I'm not going to not put it down. I'm just kind of pulsing this. Okay.
Sleep is important.
Others, okay. Wesley? Sports. So it goes God, family, sports. And all the boys said amen. Okay.
B-I-B-L-E.
It's a good answer. Okay, so right now, is there anyone who thinks there's some, what, we have friends? Others or Bible?
Friends.
Raise your hand for friends.
Bible is God.
Raise your hand for Bible.
I think Bible is God.
Raise your hand for school. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Others covers friends. And I'm just going to let all the priorities kind of go in the line after this. Okay, after that, what else do you have? School? School? Okay, I know there's so much more, but I need to get to my point. So, you guys, I'm seeing a lot up here is actually schools in all three categories. So whether you like it or not, school is going to be part of your life for the next 9 months. If you're not in school, I need to see you after service, because it is state law. So this isn't a statement you can't really refute right now. School is going to be part of your life. Now, why am I talking about this? There's homework, tests, projects, papers. All those things are going to try to consume your time in the next 9 months. Now, a large portion of your present life, then, we could agree, is going to be school, right? Like, whether or not we want it to be, school is going to be in your very near future. Now, who determines your projects, assignments, tests, all that stuff?
Teacher.
You know, it might be different kinds of teachers, but it's the teacher, right? So the teachers lay out these requirements for you over the whole year, and then each day they kind of add to it. And then your response to that's going to determine your level of commitment to their class and your education. Is that true? Like whether or not you do your homework, your tests, your assignments is going to determine the success of your education?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Agreed? Okay. So you may not like your teacher. How many of you love your teachers? You might not know them yet. Let's think about last year. Did you have any teachers you didn't necessarily get along with, care for, understand? All hands go up. Okay. But most of you are still committed to that class and to that subject despite the teacher, right? Like how many of you have switched? Have you completely quit a class because of a teacher? Anybody? A few of you? But for the most part, you have to take another class, right? You can't just stop school because you don't like the teacher. Am I right? Okay. So what am I getting at here? You guys spend a majority of your time with school for the next 9 months. And then to top that off, a lot of you have told me you don't particularly like school, you don't particularly like homework, yet you do it. Now, I'm not going to argue whether or not you do or don't do it, but ideally, you would do it. And so you spend all this time, all this energy on school. But you guys have all said you don't necessarily like it. Well, some of you like it. Okay, I won't say none of you like it. But how much more should you be committed to something that you love and that you like? And how much more attention should something get that you like? Or how much more attention should God get because you are in relationship and you love him? So if you can obey a teacher, if you can turn in an assignment and be respectful to that authority, how much more should you be able to give that much attention and respect to someone that you love, admire, and look up to? Correct? Are you guys tracking with me here? So I'm thinking here, if we look at our priorities here, you guys all put God as number one. Yet we've kind of all come to the conclusion that for the next 9 months, probably a good third of your day, you know, let's say you sleep for 8 hours, you're at school for 8 hours. Did you really think that you actually had 8 hours of free time? Like if you take 24 divided by 8 is 3, that gives you 3 chunks of time. Are you tracking with me here? Too much math. Too much math? Okay. Well, anyway. School takes a lot of time, yes? Probably 6 to 8 hours once you go to school, come home, do some homework. So I'm not saying quit school, study God. That's not what I'm saying. But if our priority is God, but most of our time is spent on something else, how do you balance the two? And so that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about tonight is sometimes there's things that we like and there's things we dislike. But there's going to be times where some of those things may look like they take priority over what you have told me is your number one priority. And so tonight I want to talk to you about how can we make things that are our number one priority integrated into all those different areas of life? Because it's not realistic for most of you to quit school unless you're in college and the Lord told you to. If you're in junior high and high school, you're supposed to go every day, or whether you're homeschooled, that's part of your daily life. And so I hear about people, there's certain people that think in boxes, you know, like one thing at a time, and then there's those multitaskers. I'm kind of that multitasker. But there's some people that compartmentalize, like school, check, work, check, God, check, right? And so you're like, oh, I did that for the day. God is something that you don't just put in the little box or have that little check off on your day. It is something that you integrate into every single thing. And so instead of looking at this as if God's my priority, but I spend all my time on these, which means God's not my priority, we need to learn how to take God and integrate him into everything we do. And so that can be hard at times because you have these things pressing. You have homework that's due. You have mom and dad telling you there's chores to do. Some of those dislikes, you still have to do them, right? Like you may not like tests and homework and chores, but those are some things that if you want to honor mom and dad so it will go well with you, then you do your chores. Yes?
Yes.
And everyone said yes. So what I'm talking about here is how to incorporate him in everyday of life. Think about how often you communicate with other people, whether that's teachers, that's friends, you're on your cell phone, texting, social media. As quick as you want to jump and tell someone about something or call someone for advice, we need to train ourselves that God's the one that we go to. That when we have those discussions about things, that he's the one we integrate in part of our daily life. I remember someone told me once, when you're struggling in school, pray in tongues. I'm like, do you know what school I go to? Like, I'm not just going to break out in math class and start praying in tongues when the test gets hard, you know? But I learned a valuable lesson, and that is that the Holy Spirit is the guide. He is the helper. He is the encourager. So when things do get hard, you do lean on and trust in God. And so when you're going through school these next couple weeks as it gets started, I know the first week for me was always really easy. They pass out all these syllabuses, pass out all these requirements. And then you don't really have homework. Some teachers like to throw one on the first day, but the other ones that know better, dare I say that, just kind of wait a few days to integrate you into it. Or some of you have had reading assignments all summer. Now, I'm sorry, that's just not fair. But you guys are going to gear up for this. And so when you list all these things you like and dislike, as you go into school, start thinking about what is my priority. So many times we go through these motions. I have to go to school. And so I'm going to go through the motions. My alarm clock goes up. I get off. I get up. I determine whether or not I'm going to do this or that. Got to catch the bus. Mom's honking at me. You get to school and you just kind of go through the motions. But have you ever thought that if you wake up each day and actually lived it on purpose, like made every minute count of that day, instead of going through these motions, well, I did track last year, so I should do track this year. Well, I was a cheerleader for the last 6 years, so of course I'm going to be a cheerleader this year. And just going through those motions instead of determining, what am I supposed to do this year? What are my priorities? I've determined that God's my priority, so I should probably seek him to determine what the rest of my priorities are. And so as you start school off this year, instead of just going through the motions of class, going through the motions of homework, doing your favorite extracurricular activity. I love school because I love sports. Determine what is your goals this year. What are your priorities this year? And it's as simple as sitting down. This didn't take long for me to determine what you liked and disliked. It didn't take long to determine your priorities. It just took a long time for me to try to hear all of them. And so if you guys each took 15 minutes this weekend and just said, Lord, what are my priorities for this year? Then you can determine, how am I going to accomplish that? What's my goal, and then what's my plan? And I'm not going to get all scientific and math and make you write all these lists down right now. But it's very simple. If you're an athlete and the team determines at the beginning of the year they want to be champions, there's things they do to become champions. They don't just go through the motions and, oh, I don't really feel like being at practice today. They do it on purpose. So if there's things you want to accomplish this year, you do it on purpose. If you're a musician and you have goals to record, or you have goals to be part of a band and to perform, you do things on purpose. And so there's other things that you're going to want to accomplish this year that I encourage you to determine what are those things. I'm not saying map out the whole year. I'm saying take 3 to 5 things that you want to accomplish this year. And then determine what does it take. And it's as simple as if I were to bring an athlete up here and they describe their practice schedules and they describe the disciplines that they have. It doesn't just leave, they don't leave practice and forget about it. They have diets that they follow. They have exercises that they do. They have things to even focus and train on mentally. And so there's things that you do outside of that actual practice to gear up for what you're going towards, which is to be the champion, to win that tournament, to win that game. And so just like you have those kinds of natural things driving you, determine what are those things in my life that I want to accomplish and write down those simple little steps. I'm going to wake up 15 minutes earlier so I can do this. I'm going to set aside this amount of time each day to do this. And the reason I'm talking about this tonight is in the next couple weeks, we're going to start a series called Boundaries. And boundaries are things that you set around something that's important, that you protect. So I'm going to talk to you guys about how to take some things that are important to you, whether that's relationships or that's a goal, and how to create a boundary so that you can protect that or that you can interact with others. How many of you have ever, you hear about pushovers, you know, or I don't know how to say no. And there's things that you can learn so that when you interact with other people, you don't have to be ugly, you don't have to be mean, but you can determine what's important to you and express that to other people in a way that keeps you going towards that goal and doesn't necessarily separate you from others. Does that make sense? And so once you determine a boundary protects something. So we have to determine what we're going to protect, what's important to us before we can determine how to protect it. Does that make sense? If I have a yard but there's no fence, it's up to interpretation where the line is. But when I build a fence, I'm now protecting my home. And so we're going to determine what's important to you. So that's why in this next week or so, I really encourage you, go through your priorities. And it doesn't necessarily mean that's what you spend the most time doing, but I can determine your priorities by your actions. What you spend a majority of your time doing, thinking about, talking about, is probably what's on your mind the most, which is probably what means the most to you. So if you're having a hard time figuring out what your priorities are, think about, what do I think about? What do I talk about? What do I watch? What do I do? And that's going to determine what you focus on the most. And if you want that to change, it starts with write down the vision and make it plain. It talks about that in Habakkuk 2. And so that's what I'm talking about, is write down the vision and make it plain. If it's on your mirror every morning, taped there reminding you what your priority is for that day. I have friends who at their computer at work write down their daily goal, whether it's encourage 10 people or walk in love. Sometimes you got to be reminded to do that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen, they say. But equally as important as your priorities are people around you. And that's another thing I wanted to remind you of as you're going to school and going through these things, is you have all these priorities that I'm talking about, and those are very, very important. But I remember a time in my life where I was so focused and so driven that I just plowed people down that were in front of me. My friendships kind of went by the wayside because my goals were more important than the people. And so don't let the process become more important than the people in your life. And that's why we're going to talk about boundaries. There's a way to have these goals and these priorities. You guys all want to get somewhere, right? We're on a mission, we're on a journey, and you all want to get somewhere, but there's going to be people along you all the way. And so God's priority, someone said others in here, That's God's priority. It's you. It's people. And so just as much as we have all these priorities that we're listing to get his vision, make it plain and run with it, he's trying to get us to get as many people on board with us as we go. And so when we're going along, we have to remember to have that same attitude that he had. It says in Philippians 2:5, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine rights, privileges, and took a humble position as a slave, born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal death on the cross. Now, today I was imagining if God, think of princes and kings. They're in these palaces. They have these beautiful homes. He leaves heaven and comes to earth. Now, what would that be like if someone got kicked out of their castle in England and was told they're going to be a peasant on the street? Probably wouldn't be a pleasant process for someone who wasn't God, right? So today I was, not that I'm comparing this to school, but there's things you have to do and there's places you have to go that times aren't necessarily pleasant. School's coming up. Most of you said you disliked it. Now, there are some of you who said you like it, and I'm not discounting you, but most of you said you disliked it. And so as things come up in the next weeks and months, instead of looking at it as something to fear or something to dread, change your perspective. Look at it. If you don't like school, and some of you are sitting here going, I don't even know the point. Like, I will not be a math teacher. I will not use accounting in my entire life. Why do I have to take this class? Asked myself the same question, ended up using it. Not saying it's going to happen to you. But there's things that you have to do in the school system to go to the next level. So whether or not you like it, you do it. And so just when God comes down to earth, it says as a slave. So someone who goes from God to slave. He was here to serve others. And so that's what I want you to look at. When you go into school, when you go into all these extracurricular activities coming up, don't necessarily look at it, what can I get out of this? Because some of you have determined that you don't necessarily want to get anything out of it. You're just doing it because you have to. Ask, what can you do for it? And what do I mean by that? When you're going to school, when you're going to these sports teams, when you're going to these events, what can you contribute to it? Who are you there on assignment for? Look at these things as mission fields instead of, you know, a forced camp. You know, like, oh my gosh, I have to go. Slave labor, woe is me. I have to do my chores. And do it with a good attitude. Because Christ came to earth from his beautiful heaven, came here to earth, and they didn't even have the amenities that you have now, and he served people with gladness. He served people in love. He loved what he did, and he would have never changed that for anything because it meant that you guys can come live with him one day. And so as you go throughout these next school year, if there's things you don't like, don't view it as, it's probably because you're viewing what can I get out of this and what's this going to do for me, but switch the perspective of what can I do for this? What atmosphere am I going to change? Whose lives am I going to affect? And so that's going to help you move through something that you don't necessarily want to go through is because you realize it's not about you. It's about somebody else. You're on assignment for somebody else. It, 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his light. So because of who you are, you have an assignment. You're going to hear assignments a lot in the next couple weeks. You have an assignment to be who he's called you to be so that people can see that and run towards that light. And so when you're in these places you don't necessarily want to be, it might not necessarily be for you to accomplish something as for you to be who you're supposed to be so someone can become just like you or become just like him. And so that's what I had to do. I went to public school every single year but two. I went to private school for 2 years. My college, I went to public school, a public university for two, went to private for two. And so I know what it's like to be in the schools and to just want to put your head down, get to class, get out and leave and just, I don't want to be here. I totally get it. I had senioritis as a sophomore. Like, just get me out of here. I'm done. I even skipped my junior year of high school because I was like, please get me out of here. I remember sitting in my counselor's office, and they said, why do you want to skip a grade? I was like, because this isn't me. She's like, you're going to miss out on your high school experience. I'm like, the high school experience I see is drugs, sex, rock and roll, and parties. I said, that's not Jen. I want out. And I look back now and think, I believe all my steps were ordered and the things that happened the years to follow, I know I was supposed to skip that grade. But I wish my attitude would have been different, that I wasn't, it's all about Jen, I want out of here, these people annoy me, they don't know what's the real thing in the world, they're just messing around, and you just want to tell them all what they're doing wrong. Instead of looking back and seeing how can I love these people through what they're going through, who could I have brought alongside of me instead of ignored every day? And so I want to encourage you as you go through this, even in private school. I've been to private high school, junior high, it was 8th and 9th grade, and then college. Each place was the same. Just because it has Christian in the title doesn't mean that's the people that you're surrounded by. I know that. So when you're in these private schools, I know it. I know what that's like too. But don't let the drama of all of that determine your course. Don't let all of the ups and the downs of everyone else's life determine your ups and downs. You guys have the authority. You have the power to be the thermostat. You can set the temperature of the classroom. You can set the temperature of the cafeteria. If someone's being bullied, made fun of, or teased, you have the opportunity to stand up for that person, even if you don't know them. You have the opportunity to do that. So when you go into this school year, those are a few different things that I was trying to think about what it would be like. But I thought about also the intimidation factor of it. I've had some of you come to me and say, I go to this public school and the student comes to me and asks me this, and then these students make fun of me for this, and I don't know how to stand up for this. And so the Lord gave me two words to encourage you. I told you guys I'd be done at 8:16. It's 8:18. Can I have 5 minutes, please? It's 8:15. Can I still have 5 minutes?
Yes.
I shouldn't have asked because I'm going to. So, just trying to be polite. Don't you want to be encouraged with two things?
Yes.
I would. No? Okay, well, I'd say tune me out, but don't, because it's God's words for you, not mine. So, the number one thing he told me to tell you is fear not. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So as you're gearing up for this next week for school to start, some of you are already in school, when things happen that you don't like, when people are ugly, when you're like, I was nice to them, and it's hard to walk in love with these people, fear not. When there's someone who you just didn't get along with last year, and the last thing you want to do is be stuck in their class, let alone sitting next to them, fear not. When there's a test coming up, and you don't know anything about the subject, or you can't stand it, fear not. The word says, greater is he that's in you than anything that's out here. And so as you come up against things, remind yourself, fear not. There used to be this line of clothing called No Fear, No Fear Gear, whatever. But it just said fear not all over it. And I remember that when I was in elementary school. And so it was just this phrase in my mind that I'd always remember, fear not. And so as you go up against these things, the enemy wants you to fear. Fear is also anxiety, worry. Those things are associated with something that you don't care for or like or that you don't want to do. But fear not. When we were singing that song earlier, Your Great Name, said Jesus, the enemy flees at the sound of your name. And I remember when there was times when I was walking through the halls or I was trying to go to sleep at night and I was thinking about all these things coming up the next day, I would literally fall asleep saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that's how I fell asleep. Or I was praying in tongues until I just drifted off and fell asleep. And those two things helped sustain me when things got hard. Or when I didn't know what was happening. Or I didn't understand. Or I didn't have words to say. So if you don't have words for something, if you don't know what to pray, Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. It says everything flees at the sound of your name. So if there's something you're battling, use the name of Jesus. Pray in your spirit. Build yourself up. Because those two things are going to help you combat anything that you come up against in these next couple weeks. So don't fear people either or failure. That's why we're going to start talking about boundaries. Is a lot of times the most common thing that's going to try to infiltrate a boundary is people. Whether it's their words, their actions, or the enemy trying to tell you that you can't have what you're trying to protect. And so learning to not fear is going to be the key to determining that you have this boundary. Because when you have something you're protecting it from something. And so you're gonna have to learn to stand up to things. The second thing he wanted me to tell you is you can do it. There's some of you thinking, I don't know if I can make it through another school year. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to pass that class. I took it 3 times last year. Or I've taken it every single year and the grades have gotten a little better, but I don't know if I can do this. You can do it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do, and you can repeat it with me, all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we hear that, we repeat it over and over in our minds, and we say it to everyone, oh, you can do it, you can do all things. But if you stop and think what that really means, I can do all things through him. So involve him in your activities. A scripture that he led me to today, let me find it real quick. Psalms 37:5, commit everything you do to the Lord, trust him, and he will help you. So when there's things that you're needing help with, commit it to him. Trust him. When you hand something off, like when you have a group project and you hand something off to someone, that was always hard, trusting that they would get it done. But the Lord says, commit it to me, trust me, and together we're going to do it. And so when you go through these next couple weeks gearing up for school and there's these tests that start to get on the schedule and these homework, tell yourself, I can do this. And if you have to write it down, if you have to remind yourself, you open your math book and it says, I can do this. And say it to yourself every day. Because I know you can do it. He knows you can do it. And if as soon as you believe you can do it, that's when you're going to be able to do it. And so in these next couple weeks, if you would, I actually won't teach again for 2 more weeks. Next week we have a family worship night. So you have 2 weeks to determine what some of your priorities are. What are some things that the Lord has put on your heart to accomplish this year? What are some things he wants you to rearrange so that the right ones are at the top? And then when you do that, we're going to come back and determine how to set boundaries around those things and then how to walk out not only accomplishing them, but making sure you're focused on that and making sure that it is getting the attention it needs. And so determine what those are. And so September, well, I think it's September 5th. That's the day that we'll start on that new series, Boundaries. And that's going to help protect and enforce what you guys deem important to you. Amen? Amen.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.